Well, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 23. 2 weeks ago, we looked at verse 1 of the 23rd Psalm. And then last week, we were in Luke chapter 10. We looked at the story of Mary and Martha. And now I want to come back and finish off Psalm 23. And in fact, I thought that this might end up being like a 3 or 4 or 5 week series, but then I thought, no, sometimes I do that kind of thing, but we're going to finish off the psalm, Lord willing, this morning. And so let's read the psalm in its entirety. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father God, it's good to be here this morning. We thank you that you have given us a church family. I thank you for these dear saints that are here this morning, and it's fun to testify and to speak of your faithfulness, your goodness, in our lives, and we could all share of many, many things, many times where you have been faithful. And so we thank you and we praise you. And we ask that you would speak to us through your word as we look at the 23rd Psalm. We just pray that you would help us to approach it with fresh eyes and be able to see it maybe in a way that we've never seen it before. And so we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's be honest. Sheep don't have the best reputation, at least in the animal world. Even though we don't live in a culture where sheep are roaming all over the place, we know enough about them to know that they're not the smartest creatures alive. They're not like dolphins or elephants or bees or any other creatures that are known for their intelligence. Nor are they the strongest or fiercest creatures around. Other animals like wolves and lions and even dogs have been known to prey on sheep anytime they can. If ever there was an animal that was dependent upon help and guidance and provision, it would be sheep. In light of that, we shouldn't be surprised that Scripture would liken believers or Christians to sheep. We're frail, we are weak, we're needy, and entirely dependent upon our Heavenly Father. And so the self-sufficient, independent life is certainly not the Christian life. We need God. We need the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need a loving shepherd who can take care of us each and every day. Now, 2 weeks ago, I made the point that everything we need in life and more is found in Christ. Let me say that in a different way. There's nothing that we truly need in life that Christ doesn't already have. He is sufficient to meet our every need. Now, another way of translating verse 1 would be this. And if you remember back 2 weeks ago, if you were with us, we focused on verse 1, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But another way we could translate that would be, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." I lack nothing. You see, for the Christian, for the believer, Christ is our all in all. And today we're going to look at what exactly the shepherd does for the sheep. And I'm going to ruin it for you. I'm going to spoil it for you. The shepherd does everything. pretty much everything for the sheep. Three things primarily that we're going to look at. The shepherd provides for the sheep. The shepherd protects the sheep. And the shepherd prospers the sheep of his fold. So that's what we're going to focus on today. And of course, we could break this down into different subcategories. But broadly speaking, those three things are what a good shepherd does for his sheep. So let's look at number one. The shepherd provides for the sheep. It says in verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. One of the most important things that a shepherd does, maybe the most important thing, is to provide food for the sheep. Now let's be clear. Sheep aren't the best at providing for themselves. They have to eat. The shepherd can't force them to eat. But he can lead them to those green pastures. They can't take themselves to those pastures. They can't find the nourishment they need on their own. That is why they need a loving, caring shepherd. Now, in the Middle East and in several other places in the world, these green pastures are not always in abundance. We live in a part of the world that's very green, it's very beautiful, but not everywhere is like that. Last year, Stephanie and I, we went to a homeschooling conference in Lancaster. And one of the speakers that we heard was from Arizona. And she made the comment that as she was landing in Lancaster, Harrisburg, wherever she flew into, she said she couldn't believe how green it was here. Now, if you've been to Arizona, you'll know that it's not so green. It's kind of brown. There's not nearly as many plants and trees. But for the shepherd, in many contexts around the world, it's vital, it's absolutely vital that he take his sheep to those places where they can graze on green grass, where they can be in green pastures. And as I said, sometimes they're not always in abundance. The shepherd and his flock were often on the move because even if they did find a green pasture, it wouldn't last forever. But the sheep would have to trust the shepherd to take them to those green pastures. The sheep would also have to trust the shepherd to take them to still waters. Sheep don't drink properly if they're by a river and the water is rushing and there's rapids. If that is where they're being watered, then they typically don't drink very much. They don't drink enough because they're scared. They're fearful. But if the shepherd leads them to a gentle brook, or even if he dams up just a small part of the river so that they can get the water they need, then they're going to be much more healthy and they'll be able to rest. And so just like for us, water is absolutely essential. Food and nourishment is essential. If they're going to grow and development as they should and God intends for them, then they need that nourishment. Now let me just draw your attention to a couple verses. I think it's fairly straightforward how this applies to us. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." That's Matthew 4 and verse 4. That's when he was being tempted by Satan. God has provided the spiritual nourishment that we all need, and it's found in his word, the Holy Scriptures. You see, we don't have to go on some treasure hunt trying to find God's word, trying to find our spiritual food. It's right here in this book we call the Bible. But friends, we must avail ourselves of the teaching of God's word. This all starts with being in the house of the Lord on a regular basis, hearing the gospel preached over and over. But it also includes our own personal devotions, our own time in the Word. It includes family worship. It includes attending Bible studies as we're able to. You see, this is our lifeline. This is our manna. It's our food. It's our water. It's our nourishment. We desperately need it. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 19. You might remember a couple of years ago we did a series on Psalm chapter 19. And if we had more time, I'd read the whole psalm, but I want us to just look at verses 7 to 11, where it talks about the law of the Lord, or the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there's great reward. So it says there that the law of the Lord, or God's word, his precepts, are perfect. They revive the soul. And as we avail ourselves to the teaching of God's word, it revives us. It enlightens us. It gives us exactly what we need. Of course, this goes along with verse 3, where it says, he restores my soul. Friends, the Good Shepherd gives us the rest we need. We need that rest day by day. And as we see how he provides that nourishment that we need, we also see how he's sufficient. Our faith grows. Our confidence and our trust in him builds. But there's more. It's interesting, as I studied this psalm over the past couple weeks, each point seemed to build upon the next. And you often find that in Scripture. It just gets better and better and better. Here's what I mean. Go back to verse 3. It says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Notice there it says, he leads me, or he guides me. What this tells us is that as we're fed and nourished by God's word, it also gives us guidance. It gives us the direction that we need in life. Oftentimes, we don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn in life. But then through the Word and through the Holy Spirit, God gives us the direction that we need. In another psalm, it says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lamp and light. That's what God's word does. It illuminates our path so that we can see clearly. Now, this verse could also be translated as straight paths. Instead of he leads me in paths of righteousness, it could be he leads me in straight paths. And again, that's exactly what God's word does for us. It's exactly what God does. Sometimes life is a windy road. It's full of curves and detours and dead ends. But all along, God is working his perfect plan to completion. When life can often seem like a roller coaster, God is actually taking the believer on his straight paths. But again, we need to trust him. We need to trust him. We need to place our lives in the hand of our Heavenly Father, because he's our good shepherd, and he can take care of us. One of the verses that I often pass along to other people is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Here's how it goes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So we have that same message of trust. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in your God. And in everything you do, acknowledge him. Give him the glory. Thank him. And he's going to make straight your paths. But notice also what it says at the end of verse 3. It says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's interesting. It reminds us that God does all things for the glory of his great name. And we know that his name is above all names. It's the name which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's a couple other psalms that I'd like us to look at. Psalm 8 and 9. Psalm chapter 8 and verse 1. And then chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. It's always amazing to me how Scripture corresponds to one another. So we're in Psalm 23, but we see how it says the same thing in many of the other Psalms and in many of the other books of the Bible. It all fits together. It's 66 books, but it's really one book. And God is the author. Psalm 8 and verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. How majestic is your name. And then listen to Psalm 9 and verse 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Friends, we don't sing praise to any other name but the name of our Lord, the name of Jesus. Well, there's many more. I was going to take us to the book of Isaiah. But if we're asking the question, what does the shepherd do for the sheep? We see that the very first thing he does is to provide for the sheep. And he provides them with the nourishment, the spiritual nourishment that they need. He nourishes them, he guides them, he leads them, and he gives them rest. Let's take a look at number 2. The shepherd protects the sheep. Now, we live on the mountaintop. We live here in Snowshoe, and in fact, we even call our church Mountaintop Alliance Church. But sometimes in life, we have to go through the valley. In fact, there's people in our congregation that this has just been a rough year for you. There's people that aren't able to be here this morning. Ann was just asking about Mike and Sandy, how they're doing. And maybe you hadn't heard, but Mike is in the hospital. Actually, they're coming home this afternoon. But he had a blood infection and a urinary tract infection and some other stuff he's dealing with, and it's been a tough week for them. So sometimes in life, we have to go through the valley. It's not our choice, but it's God's plan for us. Life is hard sometimes. We don't understand it all. Now, in order to get to the green pastures, in order to get to the still waters, often the shepherd had to take the sheep through the valley. This could be a very dangerous environment. And no doubt there were wolves and other fierce animals that were lurking behind the shadows. And they would like nothing more than to prey on these helpless and defenseless sheep. And once again, we see how completely reliant the sheep are on their shepherd. They need a shepherd who's going to protect them. They need a shepherd who's going to put his life on the line in order to defend his sheep, his flock. Now, when it talks about, this is verse 4, the shadow of death, that reminds us that this is all about life and death. Without a shepherd to protect them, they're in big trouble. Yesterday, I was reading on the internet about two wolves in Idaho, this is not all that long ago, that killed 176 sheep. Think about that. Two wolves, and they killed 176 sheep. Now, many, and I think even most of those sheep, actually were killed because they panicked and they stampeded and trampled one another. But yet again, we see how much they need a shepherd. They need a defender. They need someone to protect them and to keep them from these enemies. Now, this could also be translated as the valley of deep darkness. Let me read verse 4 again for you. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So this could also be translated as the valley of deep darkness. And when you go through a valley, even in the daytime, often it's shaded. The sun can't penetrate to the bottom of the valley. And in such an environment, the shadows become more prominent, and our imagination has a tendency to run wild. It can be a fearful thing, especially for sheep, I'm sure. And it's in those perilous circumstances that the Good Shepherd tells us, "Fear not." What's the reason? Well, it's very simple. Because I am with you. It's because of His personal presence, the Lord's personal presence. Friends, I don't know if you know this, but you have a companion. A companion who's always there. It's constant. He walks through us. He walks with us through every valley, every trial, every circumstance that comes our way, both good and bad. The Bible says that He never leaves us nor forsakes us. That's the Good Shepherd. And literally hundreds of times in the Scriptures, we read, "Fear not." The reason is always the same. Because I am with you. God told Moses in Exodus chapter 3, "I will be with you. As you take your stand against Pharaoh, I will be with you." God told Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, "Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." And then God told Jeremiah in chapter 1, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you." Twice He told Jeremiah that I am with you. So the shepherd changes everything. His protection or lack of protection often meant life or death for the sheep. When He was around, the sheep would feel safe. They would feel secure. When the shepherd was gone, they would feel alone and fearful. They wouldn't be able to rest and to have that peace. Now, there's two objects that are mentioned here in verse 4, the staff and the rod. Now, these could both be used as weapons, but in particular, the rod. Now, the rod served as a club. And in fact, I think maybe in some of your translations, it's actually the club. And it was about 2 feet long, and it was designed to inflict serious damage. In fact, I've held one of these things, and this one guy that I met when I was doing my D-Min, he had spent some time in the Middle East. He studied shepherding, and he brought back a club and a staff. And so we got to hold it. We got to look at it. It's really, really cool. But it's a powerful weapon. Now, I'm sure that most shepherds today, they have a rifle. That's the weapon of choice. But in the ancient world, the club served the shepherd very well. One good blow would likely scare off many a beast. Now, the staff, or the crook, was used more to guide the sheep along. Sometimes even to rescue the sheep As I said, it could be used as a weapon, but more often it was used for other purposes. So these were the two main things, the two main objects that the shepherd carried along with him. And remember, he'd have to travel light. They were constantly on the move, and the rod and the staff served him very well. And that's why they're mentioned here. They were the two main objects that he used. Now, just to bring this into our modern world, imagine being in a country in the Middle East or some hostile region, and there's war, there's fighting going on. And it's scary for us Westerners to think of that. We've always just known peace, but it's different in other places in the world. But imagine that you have two soldiers with you at all times. They're armed with machine guns, they're trained in warfare, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to protect you. Now, with them around, with them right next to you, do you think you'd feel safer? Do you think that would be comforting? Well, friends, the Lord Jesus is offering us his own personal protection. We're going to face enemies all the time. Of course, at the top of the list is Satan. The Bible says he prowls around like a roaring lion. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. We also face the enemy of sin. We battle sin, our own personal sin, every day, every hour. We also battle sin in general in this world. It affects everything. And we have to deal with that. And friends, just as we sin against others, others also sin against us. We do have enemies. They want to harm us. Sometimes they want to destroy us. But we have to remember, we have a Heavenly Father. We have a shield, a defender. He's going to protect us. But we must look to Him in faith. So how does the shepherd care for the sheep? Well, number one, he provides for the sheep. He provides for us. And number two, he protects us in all kinds of different ways. And then number three, this is the last one. The shepherd prospers the sheep. And I get this from verses 5 and 6. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Now, when we think of a table, I'm sure there's many things that, many images that come to mind for you, but surely among those images is that of bounty and blessing. Once a month, we gather around the table of the Lord. We celebrate communion together. In fact, we did that last Sunday. We remember the death and resurrection of Christ and all that we have in Him. Or, here's another one, once a year in the month of November, we celebrate Thanksgiving. We gather around a table to celebrate all the provisions and the blessings that we've had the previous year. Or perhaps your family has a favorite restaurant that you just love to go to. You love to be together. You love to enjoy a good meal together. There's all these traditions that we have. But often when we think of a table in this sense, we think of bounty. We think of blessing and goodness in life. But there's another thing that we might think of, and that is a host. Listen to the words of verse 5 again. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That is the language of a gracious host preparing a meal for their guest. So who's the host? Well, once again, it's the Good Shepherd. It's the Lord. It's the one who lovingly takes care of his sheep. And just think about that for a moment. Our Lord, our Savior, he wants to host us. He wants to throw us a banquet in our honor. And you're thinking, well, are we deserving of such an honor? The answer is no. Not at all. We're sinners. We're poor. We're blind. We're helpless. We're wretched. We're steeped in sin. Friends, we desperately need His grace every day of our lives. And yet, for some reason, unbeknownst to us, He's chosen us. He's chosen to shower His love upon us. And it gets even better. Look at the next part. You anoint my head with oil. Now, we know that oil was greatly valued in the ancient world, more so than it is today. It was costly, it was valuable, it was a healing agent. And in the ancient world, it was the custom of the host to provide oil for his honored guest. He would actually dump oil on the head of his guest. Now, when we think of that, maybe you cringe a little bit. Maybe you like that, I don't know. But maybe you're worried that it's going to mess up your hair or something like that. But in the ancient world, things were different. To anoint someone's head with oil was considered an honor. It would have been refreshing, especially after a long day of travel. So that's what our shepherd does for us. He restores our soul. He refreshes us. And then it says, my cup overflows. We all know what happens when a cup fills up to the brim. Since it can no longer hold anything, any more liquid, it overflows the cup. And that is a great picture, a wonderful picture of the Christian life. The true Christian lives a life that is overflowing with God's blessing and God's goodness. It's an amazing life. In fact, there's nothing that compares with the life that God gives to His people. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I came that they, and by that it means believers, that they may have life and have it abundantly. Friends, this is a life beyond compare. This is the life that God gives to the believer. You see, the Lord wants to bless us. He wants to prosper us. He wants to experience fullness of joy. Now, just to be clear, this doesn't mean that we won't experience pain and suffering. We know that. Nor does it mean that we'll be rich and famous and successful. This doesn't mean that we won't feel the effects of sin each and every day. The prosperity gospel, and if you turn on your TV and watch the televangelists, the TV guys, that's what they want to tell us. They want to tell us that God's plan for us is that we'll be happy and healthy and rich and maybe even famous if we work hard enough. But those are all things that appeal to our earthly, fleshly natures. That's what the world is aiming for, but not so the Christian. So just to be clear, the prosperity gospel is not the biblical gospel. You see, when Jesus says that He came to give us life and life abundant, He's not talking about achieving the American dream. He's not talking about being successful in the eyes of the world. He's talking about having true joy, true contentment, having that peace that surpasses all understanding, and living a life in service to others. Friends, this kind of life can only be found in Christ. But let me tell you, it's a blessed life. It is an abundant life. Jesus didn't say, rejoice that you're rich and successful and debt-free. He said, rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, rejoice in your salvation, the salvation that God has given you. So what does the Good Shepherd do for His people? He prospers us. He blesses us. And again, it's not a worldly kind of thing. It's in a way that truly satisfies. It's what our souls long for. And then verse 6, the last verse in the psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you've ever watched little ducklings, and I'm sure you have, follow around Mother Duck, it's fun to watch, isn't it? They always follow in a straight line, and wherever Mother Duck goes, that's where the ducklings always follow. Well, that's the kind of thing, that's the kind of picture that the psalmist David is giving to us. And remember, he's describing his own relationship with the Lord. Wherever he goes, blessing and goodness are sure to follow. That's what the Good Shepherd does. And he recognizes that this is not just some chance happening. He sees the Lord's hand in it. He knows that the blessing that he's experiencing in life, or she is experiencing in life, come from the hand of the Lord. And the same is true of the Christian. When you are serving the Lord and living in right relationship with the Lord, you can't escape his blessing. He showers it down upon you. And the closer you get to the Lord, the more you notice this. More and more, you want to be with the Lord. You want to be in the Word of God. You want to spend time in prayer. You want to spend time with fellow believers. You want to serve those around you. But all of this, you see, as coming from the hand of the Lord. He gives you that desire to be with him. And this is really captured in the last verse. It says, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Most people would think that that's boring. You know, who wants to be in the house of the Lord? That's the last thing they'd want. But the house of the Lord, that's just a symbol of the presence of the Lord. You want to be where God is. You desire God above all else. It's kind of like when you started dating your wife. You just wanted to be where she is. You constantly wanted to spend time with her, and you would sacrifice other things, even important things, just to spend time with her. And by the way, husbands, that shouldn't change. Just because you've been married for 10 years or 20 years or 50 years, you should still have that same approach, wanting to be with your wife, dating your wife. But for the Christian, our desire should be for God. We should long to be in the presence of the Lord. We should long for the name of Jesus to be lifted high and exalted. Psalm 27, verse 4. "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Friends, is that your desire? Is that the longing of your heart, to be with the Lord? So what does the shepherd do for the sheep? He provides for us. He protects us. He prospers us. In other words, our shepherd, the good shepherd, pretty much does everything for us. Jesus told his disciples that apart from me, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. We certainly can't save ourselves from sin. The sin that is part of our nature, something that we experience every day, we sin every hour of every day. Friends, the Bible says that salvation is of the Lord. We can't save ourselves. Fully and completely, it's of the Lord. We're saved by grace and through faith. In John chapter 10, Jesus says that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I think we looked at that 2 weeks ago. That reminds us that Jesus died on our behalf, that we might be forgiven, that we might be cleansed and justified by faith. What an amazing thing that we can say, and this is for all believers, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing. I live in abundance. What an amazing thing. Friends, why don't we take a few minutes just to reflect on the words of this psalm and this message? No doubt these words are comforting. They're consoling to us. But they also force us to ask, do I know the Good Shepherd? Can I truly say the Lord is my shepherd? Have I truly repented and believed in the gospel? So friends, why don't we spend just a few moments, a few minutes in silent prayer, and then we'll come back together and I'll pray. Several times I've mentioned John chapter 10, both today and 2 weeks ago. Let me just read from, as we close here, from John chapter 10, starting in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Friends, Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the one that laid down his life for the sheep. Do you know the voice of the good shepherd? And does the good shepherd know you? That's the question I want to leave you with today. You can know Jesus. You can know him personally. You can know him savingly. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and believe in the gospel. That's how you can be saved. That's how you can be forgiven. Like I said, this is a life beyond compare. It's amazing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is wonderful, and we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. Father, would you be at work in our hearts? Father, convict us of sin where necessary. Thank you for your love, the great love which you have shown to us through Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and his ongoing work in our hearts. And Father, we just pray that you would be at work in our church, that you would be at work in our community. Give us a desire to serve, a heart to serve. And Lord, would you empower our works? We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.